out and about all over the place, working and talking to people all the time. I talk to most of the people I talk to are church people, and then I talk to them about the Lord because they know I am a church person. That's the way they look at it. And in life, I think the number one thing in life that's missing in people's lives, because our church is a church, and I always say this because I believe this, that God's really changed my life gradually over my life. You know how the Bible says you go from glory to glory to glory to glory, right? It just keeps getting better. And I was at a job yesterday. I had to get up at 6 and meet some people and dig a well line. And when it was all done, I just was talking to these people, and my heart broke. Because these people aren't from around here, or I wouldn't even be talking about it. Because I never ever tell, when people talk to me, I never tell anybody. I didn't talk to my wife about what, when people come and talk to me about stuff. But this wasn't even about, this was about their family. And here's people that we live on the lake. They have everything you can imagine. Everything that you can imagine. Like that you would want. If you want something, you just got it. What's that? No, it's on. I can hear it. Can you hear me? All right. And there, can you hear that? Oh, it's not clear? All right. Well, then I'll use a different mic. I'll use a different mic, Mike. And Mike? And my heart has always been about making a difference in people. Is that better? Okay. And so I just sat down and I was talking to the guy because in my eyes, because I know this guy pretty really well because I've worked with him different times. And he's always happy and joking and being smart and always got a brand new everything. And for me to look at him, like I don't do that, but I would think he's got like one of the best lives there is. He's got two wonderful kids. He's got a wife. And I started talking yesterday to a son. And I've talked to him for years. So it's not nothing. And I just was saying, anyways, to make a long story short, at home, their life is a mess. Just a mess. And the son came to me and said, could you help my dad? They've stayed in different bedrooms for 7 years. He said, I don't know what's going wrong with him. He's got everything he's ever wanted. He's run out of dreams. He doesn't know a thing on anything. He's got millions of dollars. And he's not even in dad anymore. People need Jesus. Because Jesus is the only one that brings peace. Amen. He's the only one that brings contentment. He's the only one that brings fulfillment. He's the only one that adds to your life consistently. He's the only one that can bring what people need. And that's why I was thinking about that this morning, because these are wonderful kids. And these are wonderful. These boys remind me of my boys. They work. They're good to people. They work with their father. And I would have never, ever known. And how many people's lives are messed up like that. That on the outside, we all smile. We all tell a joke. The difference is Jesus. You have got to allow Him to affect your life. And only you can do that. Only you can do that. And so the Bible talks about here, because we have communion, because see, Jesus did everything for us. The reason I share this is because my heart is to make a difference in people's lives. It's what I've done my whole life. I've tried to make a difference in people's lives. Because what do you get? What do you want? What do you want in life? This is like, honestly, I think about it. Like, what is life? The Bible talks about it's like a vapor, right? Do you know that I'm almost like 50 years old? Everybody still thinks I'm 30, but I'm almost 50 years old. No, but I got 4 grandkids. But you know what? Because of Jesus, I've enjoyed my life. I've enjoyed what I do. I enjoy life because of Him. And what is the purpose of life? I guess this is what I know what my purpose is. What do you want out of life? Well, number one, I know that where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Right? I know that God loves people. And if you love what God loves, you're fulfilling His plan. Right? What was the last thing because have you ever been around people, and I've been like this with Julia, and I've been around this with people, but I work at not being like this because I wanted, have you ever been around people that when everything's perfect, nothing's said, but when something goes wrong, something's said? I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. So it's important that we tell one another. Like, really, in my life, God is number one. He really is. That's why even with my money. I mean, God's number one in our money. That's why we want to give and we want to tithe and we want to listen to God. We want to be compassionate. So God's got to be number one in our family. So that means, you know, I don't want to run around on Julia. Because I want to serve God. And I don't want to run around on Julie anyways, but I want to put God first and I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good father. Right? But in life, what is your life? Because there's a question in the Bible, he says, what is your life? It's like a vapor. What will you do with your life? Because you know what? As I get older, I begin to be around people. It doesn't matter if they're poor or they're rich or they're plumbers or they're bankers. It does not matter. I'm around so many people in this last 2 years, kind of people that I've not been around, like multimillionaires, and they're the most miserable people I've ever seen inside. They're good to me. They treat me good. But their life is a mess because they don't know where what is next. It's only God. What's my purpose? What's your purpose? And so when you have a purpose in life, what's my number one purpose? God is number one. To have a happy family is number two for me. And I have that. This kid said to me, I've seen you with your boys. And I wish I had that. You have such a great family. You're so happy. Where do you think that comes from? Does that come from me? The Bible says in me there's no good thing. Where does that come from? From the Lord. That's the most important thing. Do you know how many marriages that I didn't really realize are they're together, but they're not happy? Do you know where happy marriages come from? The Lord. Do you know why? Love. And this is for real. See, this is the thing. I know we all know scriptures and we all say scriptures and y'all do this. And I know that none of this works unless you're a doer of the word of God. Nothing works unless you do it. James says, you know, not just a hearer, but a doer. This man will be blessed in his deeds. Because see, doing the word is just living by faith. Because you're doing what the word says and not what you feel. But if you do what the word says instead of what you feel like doing, then all of a sudden you're going to get the Bible results and you're soon going to feel like loving. I don't even know how to explain it, but it works. Because I don't love because sometimes I feel like it. And I don't do good to people in business, what I'm talking about. In business, when people don't do good me good, or they try to cheat me, or they try to do something, I'm not good to them because I want to feel like being good to them. I'm good to them because the Bible says when I'm working for somebody, I'm to work for them like I'm working for Jesus. And so that's why I continue to just walk in love and just do the right thing. And this man's deeds will be blessed. And that's why my life is blessed. Not because of me, because of him. Because the word of God is life. There's life in the word, and when you do the word, it works for you. And so when you love your wife and love your kids, your life becomes able to be fulfilled, because now you're allowing that word to become alive in your life. Because the word of God's alive, right? The Bible says the word of God's alive. It never changes. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. How do you get that life in your life? How do you get the life of God to work in you? You got to take a hold of it and do it, and it all of a sudden it works for you. I have seen, there was a friend of mine that's a pastor, Pastor Jay. You know, how many people remember my Indian friend that came here from London? And we're going to have him back again sometime. And he came over here, he's an accountant, he came over from India, and started a church, came to Rhema. He's a Canadian, but he went to Rhema and believe in God for everything because he didn't have nothing. And I watched this man's life. He had nothing. He started a church, and he started to preach the Word of God and live the Word of God. And I started to see his life. It was added to, and added to, and it was added to. And they now, in the center of London, own, I'm a director for them, so I know. They bought a huge school. Like a school, I think it was a school. It looked like one to me anyways. But they bought a big building right in the center of London and paid cash for it. And it was in the millions. And gives hundreds of thousands of dollars away. I'm a director, I know. How did he get to there? How did that word that's in the Bible, because see, some people will say to me, well, I believe this, but I don't believe that. I don't believe that God, you know, would do that. But I believe this is alive. I honestly do. I believe that the word of God is real. I believe the Bible. I know our interpretation of it may be different because everybody has their own interpretation of the Bible or what they've been taught. And that's why I don't fight with people, because the reason most people believe what they believe as Christians, whether they're Baptist or Brethren or whatever, because we all are there trying to do what we know and believe is right. That's why I don't knock nobody. I don't fight with other churches. I mean, when I used to get together with all the youth ministers, I found out I wasn't a good youth minister. I wasn't cool. I couldn't do all the neat things. But I knew this, that I just loved to get together with them. And I had brethren people say to me, you're different than most Pentecostal charismatic people. You're not always telling me about this. And one day I said to him, I said, you know, the Lord's told me this and the Lord told me. He said, what do you mean the Lord told you? Well, I said, the Bible says my sheep know my voice. And I said, I started to listen to my heart. The Holy Spirit is sent down to help us. And I was able to just minister to him and to help him. But I wasn't helping him. He wanted to know more. The reason some people don't believe in the Holy Spirit or tongues or whatever it is because they've been taught like that. So they're just believing what they believe. So that's why I don't fight with people. But I know this, the Word of God's alive and it'll change your life. See, I was a sick man and I believe when it wasn't cool to believe. Because I had people mock me and make fun of me. And you know this, see, this is where the rubber meets the road. When you're going to believe God and you're going to stand up for God, people are going to make fun of you sometimes. But I'm healthy today because I believe the Bible. I allowed that word to become a part of my life. My children today are serving God, not because they always look like they're serving God, because I chose to believe the Bible. And continue to choose to believe the Bible. That me and my house will serve God all the days of their life. Do you know why? The Bible says that if you'll train your children up in the way they should go, when they're old, they'll not depart from it. And I believe that. I believe the Bible. So when you believe the Bible and you do what the Bible says, you allow the life, the Word of God, which is alive, to become alive in your situation. That's why it's so important for you when you're going through problems and oppressions. And this is what this guy is. He's going through depression. He said, my dad's not even normal anymore. And he even said, I think he's run out of dreams. He's done everything he's ever dreamed to do. He's got it all. And now what? Well, because see, stuff doesn't fulfill. Stuff don't make you happy. Stuff is nice. We all need money to pay our bills. I don't like it when somebody phones me and says, you're late 30 days on your bill. You got to pay us. And I say, yeah, no problem. But I know I don't have the money to pay them. That ain't very much fun. Have you ever been there? I've been there. That ain't fun. So we all got to live. We all got to pay our bills. We all got to do this stuff. We all got to, in life, we got to work and we got to eat and we got to do this. But if you don't seek first the kingdom of God and continually seek it, let me ask you this. I go to a lot of homes and I'm a landscaper. And so I take a lot of places that look run down and make them nicer. How do places get run down? Because I'll usually go to a place and they'll show me pictures of what it used to look like. And it was beautiful. I want to ask you something. How do places just get run down? You absolutely do nothing. You don't have to do anything. You just stop hanging out and you stop cutting the grass and you stop if a windstorm comes and a tree comes on the roof and forget about it. It's not leaking. Just leave it there. The paint starts peeling. Ah, forget about it. We're still living. I can still close the door and open the door. You don't have to do absolutely anything. Same with our Christian life. If you don't do anything, you're still going to get to heaven. Because heaven and salvation is free. But if you want to enjoy your life and be fulfilled and be able to face mountains, you can't do nothing. You can't. I look at my house. Not my where I live. I look at that too, but I'm a bit of nothing kind of guy at my house. Thank God I got my wife and kids a little bit, and Harry. Just because when I come home at 10, I don't feel like doing nothing. I say to Julie, I don't want to do nothing. Trim? What's that? Who needs trim? Well, you got styrofoam in the windows, around the windows. Anyways, so I know. Thank God my kids cut the grass. But I look at my one house up on the hill. And I remember, and I have pictures of what that used to look like. No, honestly, it was green grass, flowers, straight walls. Beautiful. It was beautiful. I was going through my mom's photo albums. How do you get from a place of where you people actually are passionate for God and love God, and 5 years later they're not in church, they're still born again? I don't knock people. See, and I love helping people like this. I'm not knocking them. But they've done what? They've just done nothing. They've just let it go. They've just let it slide. Do you think that my wife and I love one another just because we've done nothing? Do you know that I can't even understand this guy? He hasn't slept with his wife for 7 years. You got to be crazy. There's got to be something wrong. All you have to do if you want to see your life fall apart, just do nothing. Salvation's free. When you die, you're going to end up in heaven. But I don't want to do nothing in life. Jesus said, when I come, am I going to find faith? Why? Why would he say that? Because faith is what causes you to receive the Bible in spite of what you feel. Because I don't feel like loving sometimes. I don't feel like being nice to Julie sometimes, even though Julie's beautiful and she's nice all the time. I don't feel like always giving my tithe. And I'm a pastor. That's not really true. Because I just do it. Like I just do, because I've learned to train my body to just do it. Just do the right thing. And so I have a harder time with people that don't do the right thing. That when they come to me, and they'll say, we need to do this. You know, our lives are falling apart. And I'll say, well, be nice to her. But he doesn't feel like being nice to her. It doesn't matter. You got to do what the Bible says. The Bible says, husbands, to love your wife. What is love? Because see, this is like kindergarten preaching, okay? This isn't high-end intelligent preaching. What is love? Well, love bears all things, so you're going to put up with anything. Love believes all things. She's telling you that she didn't spend money. Believe her. Like, no, I'm telling you the truth. This is the only way you can have a happy, happy, happy home. Because when you get two people, we're always different. It doesn't matter how old we get together. She still got ideas and I got ideas. I want to build another house. Her ideas are certainly not my ideas. But it's okay. Because we got to come together and do what I want to do. No, I'm joking. I am joking about that. But love, like, you can fight over anything. So love bears all things, right? So it puts up with all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. It doesn't see the wrong in the past. It bears all things. Love. That's why love never fails, right? That's how two people that are completely opposite can actually have a heaven on earth marriage. Right? That's how we have a good marriage. She knows what I like, and whether she likes it or not, she bears all things. I'm not lying to you. She does what I like, and I really do what she likes. I try to. Yes. No, I know. And I'll tell you something. I learned this as well. A lot of people say to me, and I understand where they're coming from, because when you've been hurt, what do you do? If you're a good person, you will actually try to get your heart right and forgive them, but you will never let them in your life again. And really, that's not love. I'm telling you this because I've done this in my own life. I remember a guy that ripped my father off. I get more upset when people take advantage of people of my friends or my family. And I remember a guy that ripped my father off, and my dad forgave him. And I remember years later, this guy was a minister. And I had a person that wasn't in our church that I met that I knew and I liked that said to me, I was at a meeting last night and so-and-so was there. What a great man of God. And I said, oh yeah, that's awesome. But in my heart, I'm thinking that guy's a dirtbag. That's what I was really thinking. Because why? 20 years ago? He did something to my dad? Do you think he can change? Yeah. Well, certainly he can. So I'm holding him in the same place he was and kept him on the outside. I realized then that I wasn't fulfilling the whole law of love. And I asked God to forgive me. And I realized that people can change. Being vulnerable is a very bad, hard position to put yourself into. I'm not saying somebody that takes you, just go let them take you again. If somebody rips me off, I don't let people just rip me off again. But I will. Everybody has to do what's right in their heart to do. But I know this, that if you love God and you do what the Bible says, you will forgive, and you'll know in your heart the right thing to do. Because the Bible says, my sheep know my voice. I don't mean you have to keep going back and back and back and back. I'm not saying that. But love is pretty amazing. And it's pretty fulfilling. Because love will change your life. It'll change your life. That's why he loved us. In spite of your sin, in spite of your problems, in even knowing humanity, he knew them over the whole Old Testament. When they needed something, they came to God, they repented, they built a little altar, and God blessed them or saved them. And then a month later, they'd be out and they'd be with different girls and they'd be worshiping idols, and then they'd do this. I just look at Gideon, and then Gideon gets down and he's hiding in the wine press because they're going to be killed. And what's he do? God says, you mighty man. Do you think he was a mighty man? God is a God of faith. Honestly. Do you know that's why some of the people that God uses are a little odd. Like, I'm a little odd, maybe. Like, I'm not a normal preacher. I'm not. I'm not like most people because I tried to be like other preachers. Why would God want me? Because maybe he had somebody better and they wouldn't do it. All he wants is your who you are. He can use your hands. He needs you. He needs you. He needs you here on this earth so he can minister to people. Do you know that I thought this was so amazing. I had some people I worked for, and I'm just going to say it like this. They phoned me this week, and these are two boys, so I'm just going to say it like that. And they phoned me, and I talk to them about God all the time because I know that God loves them just as much as he loves me. And it ain't, and I don't try to, like, listen to me. I want to ask you a question. Have I ever went to anybody in our church and said, do you tithe? You better give. Have I ever went to anybody in their church and said, what do you do at home? What are you watching on that computer late at night? I go by there at night and I see a computer on. What are you doing? I don't do that. What kind of music are you listening to? Are you nice to your wife all the time? I don't do that. So it's not my job to fix people's lives. It's my job to preach, to believe God with you, because God's life is in his word, and when you live the word, it'll change your life. So I just give people the word. So this guy phones me. And he says, I won't do it. And he says to me, could your boys cut the grass? And I said, I'm not sure if they will or they won't, because they went away this week. And they're about as good at bookkeeping as I am, and they probably didn't tell anybody that they were going to be gone. And so I just said, I have no idea. I don't even try to fix their life anymore, like do all this and phone everybody. I just said, I'll tell you what. If he shows up, he's going to cut your grass. If he doesn't, he won't. But I'm sure it'll be cut next week. Because my life is just so busy now. I don't have time to do what Caleb's supposed to do. Right? I don't have time to do that. And so he says to me, what's the name of the boys again? Is there a Michael? And I said, yes. And I'm going to tell you this because I think this is amazing. Because he wasn't appalled by it or anything. He said, he's such a nice boy. He said, do you know what he said to me last week? And I said, no, what did he say to you? He came up to me and Paul, and he said, he put his hand on my shoulder and he looked me in the eye and he said, do you have Jesus in your heart? And he said, I think he prayed for me. And this guy was crying on the phone with me. He said, that was touching to me. It's cool. Because we're to be a light in the world. He wasn't offended. And see, this is why you got to listen to your heart. Because it's not our job to just bombard people's lives. But when God puts something on your heart, just do it. He wasn't upset. He thought it was wonderful that he cared so much about him that Jesus would be in his heart. Of course Jesus is in my heart, he says. That's why we need to pray for people and love people and give them the gospel, because the gospel is what will change people's lives. That's what's changed my life. I cannot believe that people would have everything that they want in life. Now, this is the lie right here. This is the lie that I see. I know rich people that got everything they want and they're very unhappy. And then I know poor people that wish they think, this is the lie, if they had this and this and this and this, they would be happy. And so the enemy's using the very same trick on rich and poor. And they're both miserable without Jesus. Because you know what? Do you know what? This is the truth. My number one goal, because of my mom and dad, we have had a wonderful home life. Even though my dad was a little rougher and he wasn't a lovey-dovey-dovey kind of guy with me. And maybe I made him mad. Maybe I reminded him of himself. I don't know. But he was a wonderful man, and I watched my mom and dad love one another at home. And I remember I had a pretty girlfriend that I thought was pretty. My wife doesn't think she was pretty. And she was pretty good looking and built pretty well. This is a true story. True. She was a mean woman. And I knew how happy our home was at home. She was nice to me. I wouldn't want to live up here with the stupid bugs. What are you doing that for? You know, just a, you know what I'm talking about. Do you imagine listening to that your whole life? Me, anyways, I couldn't listen to that my whole life. Just always negative. I broke up with her, and I give her to my friend. I'm not lying to you. I said to my friend, I broke up with her. She's available. Have at her. So he went with her and he married her, and now they're separated because he couldn't listen to it either. The why I did that, even before, I wasn't even a Christian then or serving God. I wasn't even, why? Because I knew what a happy home was, and I wanted to have a happy home. That's why. Where do you think my mom and dad had a happy home from? Because of God. Because God was in the center of our home. That's why. He's the only one that where you're going to bring peace. He's the only one where you're going to have happiness. He's the only one that's going to give you fulfillment. Do I like driving my cars? I certainly do. I love it. I would rather drive a car that feels nice and makes it's just nice to drive than driving what I used to drive. But was I just as happy back then? I was. Why? Because I was believing God. Did we have just as much fun back then when we had nothing as we do now? Pretty much. Right? We love one another. We've had a blast. Our life has been fun. And I feel sorry for people because most people's lives aren't fun. I even have fun when I'm working 18 hours a day. Sometimes I get a little cranky when I get tired, really tired. But only with Julia. She's the only one that ever sees me cranky. Like, not cranky. I was at a job. This is a pretty good witness. I was at a job last week. Did I tell this last week about Eddie? I didn't preach last week. That's right. So I didn't tell this last week. Then I'll tell it. We were doing a job on an island, and it was just great. It was wonderful. It was so much fun. Because you know what I love about working on islands? I love the boat ride. I loved it. You just sit there, and you're driving a motor, and you're going so slow, it takes forever to get there. And you take your shirt off, and you're getting sun. And you're feeling sort of what everybody else does all summer. Drive around the lake and float across the lake. Anyways, it was fun. I loved it. And then we went to shore and we worked for, 15 minutes getting everything that's on the barge. And then you're on the lake again. And so I was going back and forth with the barge. And Eddie was taking it from shore to the septic bed. And the owner comes up and says, John's a really good guy. Like I really like him. But what's he really like to work for? Like, what's he really like? Like, is he really like this? And then he says, I don't know. He's pretty much like this all the time. He says, like, does he yell at y'all all the time? And like, if you don't get work done or you do? He says, I've never seen John mad in 7 years. Now, I've been mad. But I never say anything. He says, no, he's never ever really yelled at me ever in my life. He said, he's always sort of like this. And when things go wrong, he just says, oh, well, let's get them fixed. He says, Eddie, actually, I don't know if he wanted a raise or they worked this out among themselves to talk and then have the owner tell me. But the owner said to me, you know what? It's pretty neat to have a guy that works for you for 7 years say only wonderful things about you. Right? Why? Because I love Eddie. Eddie's like my son. He's bigger than me. But I love my kids. I love my boys. Yeah, I love my life. Why do I have a good life? Why? Because I'm a preacher? No. Why do I have a good life? And when I say a good life, I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about anything. I'm talking about happy. I'm happy. How come I'm happy? Because of Jesus. That is where your help comes from, is Jesus. Because I have a lot of people, a lot of things that don't go right all the time, and things go wrong, and people will say this, and you want to tell them just to jump in the lake? Like, why don't you? You just keep your mouth shut, and you just do Jesus. Because if you do Jesus, and you do what the Bible says, you're going to get the results from the Bible, and it'll transform and change your life. Amen. It will change your life. It'll change your life. That's why when he comes back, is he going to find faith? Will he? Somebody's got to do it. And I didn't realize how many people that I talk to are so unfulfilled in life. And it's because their whole focus in life is on them. And there ain't no fulfillment in you. None. And then what happens is you're so focused on your problems in you and how your life sucks that you're not helping your kids, you're not helping your wife, you're not helping your husband, you're not helping anybody else. Your whole focus is me, me, my life, my problems, me. And it just gets worse, 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 and then everything falls apart. And you need to forget about you and you need to begin to think about somebody else. And you need to put the Word of God first. And it'll change your life. Do you know that's what I do right now? Do you know that my whole dreams were all about me? Most of my life. And I told them. I was honest. I said I never had dreams about what I did. I've always helped people. But you know now, my dream, the things that I are in my heart, that I have in from now to when I die is for other people. It's what can I do for this one? And what can I do for this one? My kids? What can I do for this organization? Do you know that I see needs just in life? I see needs every day. I can't fill every need in every person. And I think, well, what could we do there? I said to Julia the other day, are you serious? I'm not going to say what it was. Are you serious? Like, they don't know? Well, that's all of a sudden, and in my heart, well, let's help. Are you serious? And your life becomes fulfilled when it's about others. I don't even understand it. And I wanted to say what I just said, and I wanted to read Matthew 6:33, because the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It talks about how can you add one stature to yourself? Or how can the grass? You can't add to the grass. It just does what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to grow. And you cut it and it grows. And you cut it and it grows. I planted a tree for a guy. It cost like $350. And I got it from a nursery. And It was at my house, and I asked my wife to water it, and I think she did water it with a cup a day or something. But the root's like this big. So I come home yesterday, and I'm not a tree guy, okay? So, and I don't pretend to be. I'm a landscaper, but people say, do you want to fill it full of flowers? I said, what do you want, shrubs? Like, I'm not a flower guy or a tree guy. I planted tons of them, but I'm not a tree guy. So I come home yesterday to plant this in memory of somebody that's dead. And the tree, the top of the tree is dead, like this far. So I said, where's the snips? We got to cut this off. The rest of the tree is yellow. It was green, beautiful, willow tree. Thank God they didn't have a clue. They said, why is the top of the tree cut off? I said, that's to allow it to go bushy. That allows it to go bushy instead of go high. I said, do you see that maple tree over there? It's long and stringy. I said, there's just a little bit of bush at the top. We want this to get bushy, then go high. They said, is it going to die? I said, just water it. Pour the water on it, it'll come back. It might look like it dies this year, but the life is in the root, and it'll come back next year. Okay. I never charged them a penny. Because it might die. I said, I want to be a part of this death too. Thanks for killing my tree, Julie. So I lost more money yesterday. A cup a day is not enough for a willow tree. And you know how much I had faith in her? I never even looked at the tree till yesterday. I just knew she would water it every day. But they're very happy. They were actually really happy, and they didn't know any different. And I'm like, oh, this was such a beautiful tree. It was beautiful. 14 feet high. Now it's 12 feet high. But I actually do believe it will come back, because there was still some green down low on the tree. It died from the top down. And down here it was green, and then it turned yellow and gray and then black. Seek first the kingdom of God. I didn't even say anything to her. I said, why didn't you water the tree? She said, I did. I said, yeah, but you got to water willow tree with more than like go out with a little cup every day. You got to soak them. I wasn't mad at her. What's the matter? It's just money. And he was happy because he got it for free. It didn't cost him nothing. And I got to be a part of their life. And if it dies, I don't feel bad. But I don't think it will. Seek first the kingdom of God. What was that? Last week I was doing some stonework. Eddie, I'm just like this. That's what I'm like. Eddie and I were doing stonework last week, and he laughs at me all the time because we were doing huge, huge stones, like 24 inch and 22 inch, like big, big, heavy, heavy. Like every stone was a ton. And two of them, the tops came off them. So I had a piece of flagstone. But they, just because they broke off the top. So they were sitting there. And the contractor came around and said, I need a couple of steps. And I'm pretty quick, eh? I said, well, I got a couple of pieces of flagstone right here that we brought. Well, I did. We brought them, and then they fell off the other rock. And I said, will they work for you? And he looked at them and said, yeah, they're perfect. And he just laughs, eh? You got to... my life, what I'm trying to tell you is my life is fun, even at work, even when things don't work right, when things aren't right, we still just laugh. Why? Because of Jesus. And I am so surprised how many sad people there is in life that aren't happy in their life. They're 60 years old, they're 40 years old, they're 30 years old, they're 20 years old, and there's no life in them because there's no Jesus. Because Jesus doesn't just make you go to church and wear a hat and go to Africa. He makes your life happy all the time. And when you come, when the doctor says you've got this sickness, that you've got something to lean on. When things are told to you bad in life, you've got somebody that's a strength that can help you through it. I don't know how people that don't have God make it. I don't. It's almost 12 o'clock. So when we take this, the Bible says, let every man purpose in his heart what he's going to do. Right? And if there's things wrong, just get it right. Like, how do you, like, if you've been bitter for, like, I didn't know I was bitter for that 20 years against that preacher until somebody told me how great a preacher he was. And when my first thought was, he's a jerk. He ripped my dad off. I had to deal with that. I just said, Lord, forgive me. Because, you know, I've been a jerk in my life, too. I wasn't once always 95% happy all the time. I was 95% sad all the time. And just happy when I was doing fun things. And then when fun things were over, I remember when we got married. It was one of the saddest days in Julie's and my both life. I'm not lying to you, it was. You told me the same. I'm stuck with this jerk. And I'm thinking, I can never have another girl in my life. It's over. Like, I that's the way I was, like, because everything's exciting and you're working and planning, and now you're married. It was like depression hit. And then we went away for a 2-month vacation with no money. 1 month. Felt like 2 months, sorry. And it was terrible. But when we started putting God first, our life, our marriage started to be wonderful. We went 2 years where we didn't like one another. And then we started putting God first and we began to love one another. And now like one another. And I don't even can't explain how, but fulfillment and joy only comes from Jesus, and that's it. Everything else in life is a bonus, and that's why we need to treat people right. And there's a broken world, and I would have never known if I didn't take the time yesterday. I had to get up at 6 o'clock and meet the guy there, do the work, do it all, and when I was leaving, he said, how much do I owe you? And I just started talking to him. Not about God. And then he said to me, that's what I love about you. I know you're a Christian guy and you're a God guy, but you've never rammed nothing down my throat. That's why I can talk to you. And I see the way you treat your kids, and I see the way you're happy. And he says, what are you saying? He says, I want that. When we take our communion today, we're doing this in remembrance of him. He did this for us. He did it for you and me that we could live this kind of life. Let the stuff go in your heart. What, if you've got bitterness in your heart or jealousy in your heart or life, I want to tell you, life is not fair. I see some people and I don't know how they make it because their life is just a mess. And it seems to be a mess all the time. And obviously there's somebody in connection with that. The enemy's out to destroy them. But you gotta fight. That's why the Bible says fight the good fight. And a good fight is a fight that we win. So I'm going to pray. And we're going to take up communion. But Father, Lord, we want to be...